I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited to be alive. Who's excited to be living at a time like this? Hey? Are you guys excited to be in the kingdom, be part of what God is doing? Isn't that a great privilege? I heard a story on the radio the other day. Maybe some of you heard it. The little joke about this guy. He went to Sunday school, this little boy. He was taught all about the children of Israel doing this and that. And yes, he heard just amazing things about the children of Israel getting, receiving manna in the desert, and the children of Israel going through the Red Sea, Moses parting it for them, and the children of Israel conquering the promised land with Joshua and going in to take on the giants. But then he had this one thing to ask his Sunday school teacher. He says, yes, but if the children of Israel did all these things, where were the adults? Maybe some of you will get it later, but anyway, it's got nothing to do with my sermon this evening. But I really want to challenge us this evening and really inspire us. I trust the Lord will really speak to each and every one of us this evening about the times that we're living in, because it's hectic times. It's amazing. It's exciting to be alive at this time. It's exciting to be in the kingdom and to serve the Lord. But there's a reality out there of lives that are really being challenged with life and death. And you know, if you've been following the news about the earthquakes in Christchurch, I was watching the rugby and the cricket this weekend and seeing at the beginning of these sporting events, they had a minute of silence or a moment of silence. I don't know, sometimes they have minutes or 2 minutes. I don't know if it's ever that long. So they probably decided just to call it a moment silence. But it's always challenging because, you know, there's always death involved and someone that we're remembering or someone that has just passed away, or many people in the instance of Christchurch, many people's lives were taken in the earthquake. But it's a moment also where people get the chance to reflect on what really life is about, on the reality that we face with life and death in front of us. Doesn't matter how focused we are on, you know, the Super 15 and the World Cup cricket, these sportsmen, these world-renowned sportsmen get a chance to just sort of take hands. And, you know, Australia, it was amazing to see the Australian and the New Zealand guys just sort of intermingled. It wasn't just the Australians and the New Zealanders, but they were all together there before their World Cup match on Friday. Just in this moment of silence, remembering or just, you know, I don't know what they think. And that's the question I want to ask. I don't know what you guys do and if you think about these things, but I always wonder, what do people think about in this moment of silence? What is going through their minds when they're faced with this reality of life and death and of people passing away and of what's happening to their life? And I see it as an opportunity where God can really touch people's lives and start to minister to them about the reality that they're living in. The fact is, one day, we're all going to die. One day, we don't know when it is. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen even right now when we're leaving this church. But the reality is that something could happen any time. And we need to be ready for the fact one day we're going to be faced with this life and death situation. And I don't want to be negative this evening, but I really want us to think about this. And, you know, I sense the earth is so... the earth is really wanting to just reveal Jesus. The earth is starting to groan for the awakening of the sons and daughters of God. And the other day on our family farm, we had this hectic, we had such floods there in the Eastern Cape. And this farm manager that lived, he lives nearby, is not on our farm, a farm manager in a farm nearby. He was driving through our farm and there was this very deep river, or as we call it there in the Eastern Cape, a sluit. Yanko will understand what you're talking about, a deep ravine. And he had to stop because the water was running, and he was wondering, now, is he going to make it through this river or not? And he decided, he asked his daughter to just get out and just sort of walk in this river and see how deep it is, because he was worried his bucky's not going to be able to get through. I don't know why he did this, but he's putting his daughter's life on the line there. But anyway, and it's hectic because she got out and she started walking into this river and sort of decided, hey, but it's not that deep. And sort of came back, and luckily as she came out of the water, this wall of water just came, and his bucky was obviously parked very close there, but this massive wall of water just took his bucky. He had to scramble out of the way, his daughter got out of the way, and this bucky was washed about 200 meters down the river. And maybe, I don't know if you can see that there, but yeah, there's quite a good picture of it this morning. It was a bit bright, but my brother sent this photograph, and at the top he said, this is how not to park a bucky. So I thought it was a joke. And I heard afterwards, this is reality. This is what happened, that if they had been in that bucky, they would have definitely not made it. They would have been killed there. But the reality of life is that we are faced with life and death. We are faced more and more now with the earth just starting to, you know, when it rains these days, it just seems to flood. It just seems there's lightning, there's thunder. It's just a hectic presence of just the earth wanting to just spit out the sin of the world, wanting to just reject the sin that this world is under. And I believe in these times, we have to ask ourselves, What is God saying as Christians? What is God saying to you and me at the moment? What is He saying to us as a church? And maybe you're wrestling with Him at the moment. Maybe you've asked these questions. Maybe not at all, but that's fine because God wants you to start asking these questions. And I believe one of the things that God wants to say to us as a church this evening is found here in Isaiah chapter 60. Now, if you haven't got a Bible, just sit next to another believer. No, I'm only joking. You don't have to take out your Bibles. Us pastors, we're so nice. We prepare the slides for you. It's all on the slide there. So these days, it seems like people don't have to bring their Bibles to church anymore. So that's great. You don't have to try and find a believer to sit next to you, you know. But anyway. So one of the things God is saying to us, I believe, as a church, is this scripture here. Let's read together from Isaiah chapter 60 from verse 1. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you." Father, we thank you for your word this evening, Lord. We thank you that we can sit under your word, Lord. That this is not the opinion of man, God. This is your inspired word, Lord, written for our edification, Lord, written for our salvation and deliverance and healing, God. That we can walk on your path, God, and that we can walk by your word. So thank you this evening that you want to minister to every heart here this evening, Lord, that you've got good news for us this evening, God. Despite what's happening around us, God, we choose now to lay aside the worries of the week and even the challenges that lie ahead of us, God. We thank you that we can focus on what you are saying right now, Lord. And just be quiet, God, and hear your voice this evening. So we thank you for your presence here by your Spirit, Lord, that you will be the teacher. And you will come and lead this meeting, God. And I just surrender myself to your leading this evening, God. Thank you that you want to change lives here this evening, God. You want to touch all of us, God, because we need you, Lord. And we say that this evening. We're in need of a Savior, Lord. So come, Lord Jesus, come and speak to us and challenge us and inspire us this evening in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, I don't know about you guys. I don't know if you've ever been driving at night where, you know, sometimes there's just this car that you see at the last minute because it didn't have its lights on. And, you know, you sort of get a fright and you think to yourself, yes, man, you know, can this guy not just switch on his lights? You know, maybe he can see in the dark. But the fact is, I need to see him because maybe I have decided to pass and now he's coming from the front and I'm going to see him at the last minute and it's going to be hectic. Or maybe these cars with the one light on, you know, one light seems to be working and it looks like a motorbike from far. You know, it's hectic times for you as the driver. Because you think that the guy, can't he just switch on his lights? I mean, I need to see him. It's not about, maybe he can see supernaturally in the dark, and that's great for him. But all the other road users cannot see. They're not as supernaturally inclined as he is, so they need to see him. So can't he just switch on his lights? And that's why the people ask us, switch on your lights when it's, you know, when it starts getting towards the end of the day and the light is fading and the mist comes sometimes. You know, the regulations and the country's laws tell us, switch on our lights, not because for you to see, but so that other people can see you. And that's what I believe God is saying to us as a church. It's time for us to switch on our lights, not so that we can see in the dark. I mean, yes, it'll help us as well. Jesus has come, He's the light. But I believe it's that we can switch on our lights, that people can see us, that everywhere around us, the light will shine, like Isaiah says here. Because you see, the good news tonight is that the Lord has already risen upon us. Jesus Christ has come to give us life in abundance. And it's amazing, in verse 1 it says, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And that, obviously he's writing here to the people of Israel, where they'd backslidden a bit and the Lord was really inspiring them through the prophet Isaiah. But I believe it's so appropriate for us in these times to be living in, that it's time to arrive, or time to realize that Jesus has already risen. But then he says in verse 2 here, that He will continue to arise. The Lord will arise over you. He will continue to arise over you. And I believe that speaks about the process of salvation that we're in, where Jesus has come, we're born again, we're risen. He's risen upon us in our hearts, but also He's continuing this process of salvation in us. As more and more people come to know the Lord, as more and more people join the church, and the light of Jesus arises over His church. That's what He's saying here. But we have to ask ourselves, where does this light really come from? It's all very well to say, yeah, arise, shine, for your light has come. And that could mean a lot of things. But tonight, I believe the Lord just wants to speak to us about a few things concerning this light and a few things concerning switching on our lights and arising and shining. Let's look at John 1, the first verse. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." And here's the crucial verse. In Him was life. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Only through this life do we have light. Only through the life of Jesus Christ do we have light. And John carries on and he writes, "That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world." There's a possibility, there's an opportunity for every person to receive this light. Every person coming into the world can receive this light. But we need to realize that this light is not of our own. It's not a light that we can shine of our own successes, our own achievements, our own, you know, success in life. And this light is only from Jesus Christ. And I'll never forget the first time that Hester found out she was pregnant. We went to the doctor for a scan. And we saw that little, it's like a little peanut inside of her there. But there was a heartbeat inside this little thing. It's just like there's almost, you can almost not see anything there. But it's just a slight little, smaller than a peanut even. But there was this heartbeat, and I'll never forget my experience. Just experiencing this heartbeat, this life inside of her, realizing that this is now not just a pregnancy test that has been confirmed. There is life inside of her. There is a little heartbeat there, and that little heartbeat is running around now. He was here earlier on, then when Jock's hands. He's just such a joy for us, our little son. Matthew's his name. But you see, at one stage, all that he was just the seed planted where there was just a heartbeat. There was just this little life there inside of his mom. And that is the same when we are born again, when we come to know the Lord Jesus, there's this life that's planted in us. This heartbeat of the Spirit of God is planted in us. And we start to shine the light. We start to shine the light to the world. And that is what John's talking about. In him, in this life that he has planted in us, is the light. The light comes from nowhere else. It's only from God himself. So I want to say to us, that is good news for us tonight. Because we don't have to try to shine our own lights. We don't have to try to shine and strive and perform in life to try to shine a light to the world. We have this light in us. We just have to realize this light comes straight from God. He's birthed in us. And if you have never experienced that, then there's an opportunity for you tonight to be born again. To just come and know the lover of your soul. Come and know this light that wants to shine inside of you. And then you can be free of any other performance. Free of trying to, you know, change the world in your own strength. Trying to be a blessing in your own strength. You can know that this light is from God. And yeah, Jesus continues in John verse 8. John chapter 8 verse 12. He's speaking to his disciples and he says to them, "I am the light of the world." Jesus said many things. He says, "I am the bread from heaven. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said a lot of things. And one of the things he said is, "I am the light of the world." But he says an important thing here. "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amazing. This talks here about Jesus being on the move. Jesus is not just standing still somewhere and you and, you know, the two of you are just having a conversation and then you go in your own way and he goes his own way. Jesus is moving. And we must follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't follow him, you see, this process starts when we're born again, but then it's time for us to follow him. Now, a couple of years ago, we decided in Stellenbosch as a family district there, we decided to go up this mountain sort of towards the end of the day, and we were asked to all bring our torches because we're going to just have some fellowship on top of the mountain, but we were going to come down in the dark. So we had to bring our torches. And Mr. Kingall here forgets his torch, so he had quite a challenge having to come down this mountain. So I had to now come down this mountain following someone with a torch, and I had to make sure that I'm staying very close to this person, because if I didn't follow this person closely, then I would have no more light, and there were rocks, and it was quite a challenge to get down that mountain. But I then realized that this is the same picture of us following Jesus. Jesus is moving. He's shining his light all over, but if we don't follow closely, then we start to wander off, you know. They say if you wander, you will always wander, you know. If you wander off the path, W-A-N-D-E-R, you'll always wander, W-O-N-D-E-R. So don't wander off the path, because then you'll always wander. You'll always live in presumption and wonder now, am I following Jesus? Where is my life really going? But if we follow him closely, then we'll never have to wander again. Then we're living by faith. We're walking with him. We're hearing his voice. We're close to him. So Jesus says to me, just follow me and you will not walk in darkness anymore. Follow me and you will have the light of life. exciting stuff for us as believers. So, I also want to just mention, I don't know if you guys have been at a baptism. Have most of you guys experienced a baptism where people get baptized? If you haven't, make a point to come to the next baptism that we have. But last Sunday, we had one guy who was baptized. Now, the Lord worked it out so nicely that he was baptized on his own, and some people came late and they were baptized afterwards. But it was like God shining his spotlight on this. And he's 50 years old. His name's Marius. He's just coming to the church. Well, he's actually 50 plus. I don't know exactly. But he's an older senior member of our congregation, which is so fantastic to see because it gives us hope for our own parents. It gives us hope for the older generation to come in and experience what God is doing. But anyway, he got baptized, and just to see his face shining, like it was just such a bright light shining out of his face. And I just realized this light comes from an obedience to follow the Lord Jesus. Jesus has told him, Marius, you must be baptized. And when he came out of the waters, and even before he went in, just that light of just being obedient to what Jesus has told him to do, following the Lord Jesus closely. And that's a picture of just obedience. When we obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, we follow him and we just experience joy. We experience light. And yes, there are tribulations. Yes, there are struggles. But there's a joy when we just follow closely. When we follow that light so closely that our lives are never to be the same again. Our lives are changed when we're obedient and we experience this light of life. Amen. Is someone going to get excited here this evening? I'm sure you guys are by the end of this evening. But you see, it's all very well to say, yes, this light is from God, but is this where it stops? Do we just have a nice life, and yes, God is shining his light in us, and we just carry on, and we go through life. Yes, we've got joy, we've got all these things. Is that where it stops? The good news is it doesn't stop there. It gets even better. Matthew chapter 5. What is the point of this whole light thing that's in our lives? You are the light of the world. Jesus talking here in Matthew chapter 5. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Say to someone next to you, everyone who's in the house. So Jesus here is saying to us that he wants us to shine as lights. We are lights in the world, and therefore he wants us to shine that everyone around us can see. And then he carries on and says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, it doesn't help us just to shine our lights in a little room where there's no one else that can see it. Jesus wants us to shine our lights before men out there. Now, I don't know if you've seen maybe a high place with a light on it, a high mountain or something. If you guys come from Cape Town at night, you'll see the light shining on Table Mountain. You can see those lights from quite a long way away. But you know, a light in a low place, in a little valley, you're going to move just a little bit away from it and you won't see it anymore. And Jesus wants us to be lights in high places. He wants us to shine that wherever we are, or wherever people are that can see us, they will see this light. Now, I'll never forget when I started working, both companies that I worked for before I started in the ministry, at the start of my, within the first, let's say, four or five months of working for these two companies, the same thing happened. Is people, and this can easily sound like I'm glorifying myself, but I just went to work, and I was enjoying my work, and I was doing what I was called to do, but people... Two people, one guy from, well, not just two, but I mean, both situations in these two companies that I was working for, people told other people, who is this guy? He's just got, you know, there's just, the first company I worked for, the people knew me, but the second company was a bit of a bigger company, and people didn't know my name. But the guy just said, this guy just comes to work every day with a smile on his face. He's just got so much joy. He's just, you know, what is it? Like, why is this guy never down and, you know, works tough and, you know, he just, when I started my first company, I was just started in shofar, I was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. I just had such a joy in me that hasn't stopped, by the way. And just to shine this joy every day at work, despite, you know, my work for him, it seemed like my work was great, but my work wasn't always great. I felt I wasn't doing what I was called to do, and I was, you know, engineer, and yeah, it's just a bit of a boring job. But, you know, I went to work with a joy in me, despite my circumstances. And people could see this joy. And this one guy, he was like a new age guy, worshipped trees and did all sorts of funny things. But he was like down. He was like really depressed, very intellectual, clever guy. But he did all sorts of funny things, but just didn't want to believe in Jesus. Didn't want to believe in this Christian thing. But I had an opportunity just to testify right there and say, this is the life that's in me. It's Jesus. There's nothing else that's making me happy. My work, yes, some days it's great, some days it's not. But things will change. But Jesus in me, that's what gives me the joy. The light of life is not out of my own. It's out of a birth from the Holy Spirit, where he's where I've been baptized, I've been filled with the Spirit, I've just got this excitement for life. You see, and the same thing with all of us. Jesus wants us to shine our lights wherever we go. That people start to ask questions and say, but what is it that's different about you? What is it that you have just got this joy, despite, yes, you know, your studies are stress and exams and all these things coming, but what is it about you that you still have this joy? And then you can testify of the light that is truly in you, the light of life that has come to change our lives. You see, so God wants us to be successful. And that's the second point I want to say. God does not want us to do works to please Him. Works will not please God. And that's all I want. It's good news to know. We can just release ourselves of trying to perform for the kingdom. Because some people, Christians, still want to perform and do good things for God. And yes, God is pleased when you're obedient to Him. But God is not impressed by our good works. Our good works are simply that we can shine before men. So I want to say to you this evening, pursue a career. Pursue things for the kingdom of God. Pursue, even like Sean was talking about, pursue, if you've been called to be a businessman, be the richest businessman that you can give your finances to the kingdom. But pursue it so that you can shine your light before men. Because it's not, God is not impressed. He's given us everything. He's given us His favor in Jesus. That is the only thing that's going to impress Him is when we commit to the Lord Jesus Christ. But from that flows good works. And we'll see it now in the rest of the scriptures I'm going to read. God wants us to, we have been called to do good works. We have been called to be successful, to achieve things in life, but for one purpose only, that people around us can see and that we can have opportunities to testify about His goodness. Isn't it exciting to be living? You see, sometimes we want to pursue success for our own CVs and our own, you know, polish or naughty badge, feeling good. Yes, I'm conquering life here. You know, it's all about me. But if it's all about you, then you're going to experience what Sean experience with this big CEO who fell because it's all about him and the money and how much. And I've heard stories just of even friends of ours that where people are just pursuing, they are so under pressure to perform, to keep up with the Joneses in terms of finances, to earn more than the next person, to really keep up, especially in Gauteng, you know, where it's just so much money. This is like the city of gold and we must just get whatever we can out of the city and just, you know, it's all for ourselves. And people are being caught up into this thing of success and money and all this. And God wants us to be there. But He's first going to deal with us. And that's why we're sitting here in church as students, sitting here under the Word of God, where we can one day start working and start being a blessing in the kingdom of God, being a blessing that others around us can see the good works, not for our own CVs, not for our own successes. So it's so important. But yeah, in Philippians 2, before I start getting too carried away, I've got to keep going here because I've got lots to say tonight. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Once again, we are shining as lights among people. We are shining as lights in the dark world. And does this now mean it can be a very heavy scripture? Does it mean we have to be perfect? Not at all. It doesn't mean we have to be perfect, but God just wants us to please Him in the fact that we're living a life consecrated unto Him. And then He will start to cleanse us and make us light in a very dark world. Continuing here in 1 Peter 2. But you are a chosen generation. Now this should be good news for you tonight. Say to someone next to you, you are part of a chosen generation. And then say to someone else, you're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are God's own special person. Some of us will get excited here tonight because this is such good news. We are a holy nation. We are special people. We're God's royal. We are kings and priests to the Most High God. This should inspire us to go out of here and to shout the good news out. Because other people are doing so many other things to try and get this affirmation. And yet God affirms us and He says, you are the apple of my eye. You are so, I'm so pleased with you. Doesn't matter how much you failed. I am pleased with you just because you have come to know the lover of your soul. I'm pleased with you. I love you. Even if you didn't, God loves the people out there. God loves everyone out there. But the fact is, He is so pleased with us because He's called us His own special people. We're a chosen generation, but we're supposed to be holy. So it's a bit of a challenge here. But let's go on here. He says that you may proclaim the praises. You see, it doesn't help us just to get excited. Yes, we're a holy nation. We're all cool. And yeah, we're surfing for God. Yeah, you know, we're doing the right thing. He says, yeah, the reason you are this is because that you must proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who were once not a people, but are now the people of God. This should be exciting for some. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We need to remember our salvation. We need to remember the place that God has saved us from. And if you maybe can't get excited about this tonight, then there's an opportunity to come forward and to say, Lord, I want you to light a fire in my life tonight. I want you to start something. I can know this, that I'm such a special person to you, Lord. And I want to get to know you better. Then he carries on. He says, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, which means that we're just moving through this world. We shouldn't be caught to the things of this world. We shouldn't be, you know, stuck in this world and with the cares and the concerns and the worries of this world. We are just moving through. And he says, yeah, please, beloved, I beg you, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, talking about the unbelievers, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Once again, talking here about good works which God wants us to shine out to the world. Good works which people must observe. So does that mean you must do your good works where no one sees? No, it says, go and do good works so people can observe it. People can see that you are different. People can see there's something about this woman and this man that makes me just want to be like them. And it's only the light that comes from Jesus. So, the real point I want to get to this evening is now my third point here. Because the question we have to ask is, yes, we've got this light from God and, you know, we've got this light that we must shine into the world, but Why are we making such a little difference sometimes? Why does it seem like there's just, you know, our influence is only limited? And why aren't we really shining our lights as brightly as the Lord wants us to be? And I'm not condemning us and I'm not making us feel bad. But I ask this question and say, but Lord, you know, why are there so few working people coming in? Why is the business people so tough to reach at times? Why is the families, you know, we want the families in this church. We want more students, or we want to reach this whole campus. And I believe we're making a great difference, but we still have to sometimes say to ourselves, what is holding us back at times? And I believe the answer lies right here in Scripture. So I've got six things that I just want us, and I'm really trusting the Lord this evening that we'll open our hearts to these things, because maybe there are some of these things that are just keeping you back personally in your life, and that you need to maybe deal with or start a process of healing and deliverance in your life this evening. The first one is found, we've already read the Scripture, Philippians 2. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Now, this is a big one. This is a big one. Because, and I challenged myself, and when I saw the Scripture, I just thought to myself, you, do all things, not just the nice things without complaining. Do everything that you do without complaining and disputing and murmuring and, you know, this negative tongue that we often have, this bad tongue that we want to speak out, especially us who want to be in control and we want our way, and if things don't go our way, we start complaining. Ask my wife, I'm one of those as well, where I want it my own way, it must be perfect, it must be right, and if it's not, then, you know, then I've got lots to say about that, lots of negative stuff. And for us, some of us have been called to always problem solve, to always see the you know, what's wrong so that we can solve the problem. But God wants us here in our lives to really start speaking life with our tongues, to start not complaining and to do everything, despite your boss or your lecturer asking you to do something that you don't really want to do, and you sort of do it with a frown on your face, and you just want to get it done with. But you complain, and you skin it to all your friends, and just, you know, you've got this heaviness about you, this attitude that actually stinks. And God just says here, if we're going to become blameless and harmless, we have to do things without complaining. So I believe God wants to speak to people this evening. And there's going to be an opportunity. I want to give, for all of these points, I want to give us an opportunity just to respond to the Lord and say, Lord, this thing, I need to deal with this thing. And He will do it. But we need to repent sometimes of our bad attitude. We need to really say, Lord, this attitude in me, it comes up. As soon as the pressure's on, then I just complain. And I start to, you know, instead of proclaiming, it's definitely not easy. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do this. But there's a method that we can use. Instead of complaining, we proclaim. Instead of don't complain, just proclaim. So when you get to a point of complaining, just ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I actually want to proclaim your praises because I've got so much to be thankful for. Lord, you've saved me. You've given me life. I must just proclaim this instead of complaining about the situation. And it's a big challenge. So I'm not saying it's easy, but God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. He's given us the ability to overcome this stuff. Okay, so what I want to say to us, don't complain, rather proclaim. Secondly, 1 Peter 2 verse 11, we've read the Scripture as well. It says, yeah, beloved, I beg you, abstain from fleshly lusts. Because this is the thing that's going to kill us. This is the thing that's going to kill our intimacy with the Lord, is these fleshly lusts. They steal our intimacy, and what happens? Our light starts to fade. It starts to fade away. And sometimes, We will need to stand up. Like he says here, he says, have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, because sometimes they're going to speak against you and say, no, you're just different. But we still need to stand up in the midst of pressure, stand up in the midst of challenging situations, because we are going to be challenged on this. And I'll never forget in my first year at Res, I was in Ellsworth in Stellenbosch, and there are nine floors in that Res, and I was on the fourth floor. And one of the traditions on this floor was that we had to, at the end of your first year, there was this big drinking party, and everyone had to down, and they made this punch, this terrible punch with fruit that was soaked in it for 3 days with like real hardcore alcohol in it, soaked there for 3 days, and then Friday night came, and we had to, now all the first years, they played games, and if you made a mistake, then you had to now down a whole beer glass of this stuff. And I just knew, if I don't say no to this at the beginning, it's just going to be tickets for me, because it's difficult to start saying no when you've kind of halfway and you start realizing you're going to go down here, then to say no. And I just realized the pressure of the seniors and having to, you know, have to do this and drink and all that. I just decided from the beginning, I said to these guys, you guys can do whatever to me, but I am not drinking. I'm not going to start. And they sort of started with a tot of Vit Blitz or this real hectic stuff, 98% alcohol or something. I don't know. Maybe not that much, but I just, by the grace of God, I said to these guys, you guys do this, but I'm standing up, I'm not drinking. And some of the guys kind of said, though, you know, they're Christians, and they go to church. But they could see that I stood up for what I believed in. And the Lord just told me, if you do this, you're going to really have a bad night. And my roommate, he had the worst night. He was sick all over the place, and the Oaks were just drunk, and it was just a terrible mess on that floor. But I just realized, to stand up, I just looked at this, and I felt so sorry for these guys, because they hadn't made this choice to stop, not to start this business. You see, sometimes in our lives, we'll be challenged with situations where we're the only one that is going to have to go against the flow. We're the only one that's going to have to stand up against the lusts of the world, against all the challenges, against everything. And the pressure is great to just conform. The peer pressure out there is just so great. But God is going to challenge us, and then our lights will shine. If we stand up and we abstain from any other fleshly lusts. Now, this is just one example, but there are many examples. Maybe that computer that is just, you know, causing you to look at the internet and look at the porn all the time. You need to chuck that away. Do whatever you have to do, but make a stand to get rid of fleshly lusts and the lust of the world in our lives. Thirdly, critical eyes. Luke 11, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Quite interesting. Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Talking here about our eyes and just the way we sometimes see something and see negative things and always criticize. I mentioned it earlier, but some of us always see the negatives first. We always see the problems. And then we want to find a solution, but yeah, we've always got to be critical on this, and then we must improve on this, and this wasn't right. And some of us have been wired like that. But we still always need to trust the Lord to see the good first, to see the positive, not to always see the negative, and to allow the darkness and the negativity to filter through us, that our lights just start to dim. So it's a challenge for some of us, but I believe it's not a thing of, oh, you know, my personality is this, and I will always be like that. That's nonsense. God wants to make you see positive. He wants to make you see even little signs of life. Where there's a lot of darkness, He wants you still to focus on what life is happening and the things that are good and that are noble, and meditate on those things. Philippians 2 says, meditate on what's good, what's noble, what's excellent, what's beautiful, what's lovely. See that stuff. Don't see the negative all the time. But God wants to, for some of us, yeah, He wants to circumcise our eyes almost, take off that darkness and just clear it away and let him allow him to show you the light and to see the light in situations. Fourthly, Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Works of darkness, now this carries on with the thing of lust and just of even the love of money and all this stuff. The works of darkness, the secret sins of our lives, God wants to deal with us so that we can shine our light, so that we can really start to put on the armor of light. And Paul talks here and he says it's urgent. You have to cast this off. It's not just going to sort of slowly fade away. Cast off these works of darkness and then put on, replace it with light, that your armor can shine, that the light can shine out into the world. And then fifthly, being unequally yoked. Now this is quite a challenge, but Let's read here. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion is light with darkness? Now this specifically refers to where we're in covenant relationships, guy-girl relationships, or even, I suppose it's not really applicable to same-sex relationships, because then we have an opportunity to influence people. But when it comes to pursuing, to dating and courting and eventually getting married, this is so critical, because some people think, yeah, I'll just, you know, a girl brings this unsaved guy into church, and yes, he's going to get saved, but I just love this guy, and yeah, he's going to get saved, but it just never works like that. I've seen so many relationships where the guy is just not interested. Yeah, he'll go to church just to please the lady, but he's just after one thing. And the lady just wants this husband, and he's just so amazing, but he just doesn't know the Lord, and he's on a totally different path. So what I want to encourage you guys, and same with guys, if you're dating a girl that's just not on the same spiritual journey as you on, just leave it, cut it out. Let the Lord first work with that person before you get into this intimate relationship, because it is going to make your light darkness. Your light is going to be dim. The person will pull you down because it's such an intimate part of our lives. And I remember when I met Hester, it was just so amazing. I could see, and I also had past relationships where things weren't 100%. There was just something not right. And I believe it was this thing. And even sometimes we're spiritual and we've been baptized, and then we date someone who knows the Lord, and they believe in the Lord, but they just don't believe in the baptism or don't believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to run into trouble to get yourself yoked with such a person. Wait until the Lord works with them, and then by all means you can get together when the time is right. But if we're not on the same level, and when I met Hester, it was just so amazing because I could see she was just, we're just going the same way. She's on fire for the Lord. This is just the girl that God has destined for me. It was so easy. We just, within 11 months from meeting, we got married. I mean, okay, I was a bit older and so on. So, you know, God has to accelerate things a bit there. I wasn't going to wait another 5 years. But, I mean, you know, He's good. God is good, and He works these things out. But I just knew this is the right, we are the same. We believe in the same things. And she actually wasn't even in Shofar. She was in Every Nation. She was in another spiritual church. But I just knew we had the same DNA. We had the same spiritual DNA, on fire for the Lord, going for His kingdom, adventurous person. I just knew this is the right woman for me. But so I want to say to you guys, if you are in a relationship now, and the person is not on the same journey as you are, just stop it for a while. If you eventually get together again, praise the Lord. But don't pursue someone who is unequally yoked. It will cause your light to be dimmed. Okay, last one. 1 John 2. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Amazing. And this hating his brother doesn't talk about where we like enemies of someone. This just talks about that we have got an issue with someone. We don't love this person like God wants us to love them. And yes, in church you will have people that you don't agree with, people that will challenge you, and you're not going to be the best friend. You're not going to be best friends with everyone. You're not going to get on with everyone like a house on fire. But that is fine. God just wants us not to have issues between us where the one person has to sit right on that corner of the church and the other one this corner, and they go out opposite doors and don't speak to each other, and there's just, you know, strife amongst us as believers. God doesn't want that from us. He wants us just to love and respect our fellow believers, especially because if others are going to come in, they're going to see there's division in this church, or people are just on their own missions, they don't really respect one another. How are they going to want to come into this, you know, into this fellowship? So God wants us really just to really love our brothers. And I believe this also refers to family members. I believe blood family is a big challenge, but I believe it sets us free when we can just be at peace with our family. Even though they don't agree with us, they are just maybe against what we do, and they call this church a sect and all these funny things, we must still just love them and just keep our sides clean, because they are the ones with the problem. We are following God, and we must love them. Love our family. So I want to challenge us this evening. Let's really love our blood family, but also, especially, let us really, like John 16:13 says, people must see that we as disciples by our love for one another, by our love and our fellowship for one another. So important. God is serious about this. How can we begin to love the world out there if we can't even love our fellow brothers and sisters? Challenging times for us. But it's good. We need to. This is good news this evening. I know there's a lot of stuff that's maybe been highlighted here, but I really trust the Lord this evening that we'll be set free of the things that hold us, that keep us back from shining this light. So we've dealt with these things. We've understood that sometimes our light fades. So how do we really shine the Lord's glory. First of all, and the most important, 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only way that we can receive deliverance, we can receive healing, that we can receive complete freedom from these things. It's just by having faith, and we place our complete trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That is the only way that we can really get over these things of the world. The world wants to keep us down. The world wants to keep us in darkness, but Jesus says He has come, and we can just trust in Him. We can believe that we can overcome anything and everything in our lives. And I want to say, do you believe that? Do you believe that even right now, the work is finished? The work is done on the cross. We can come and just say, Lord, here I am, just deal with me. Because I know You've done it. You've paid the price just to receive that healing, to receive the deliverance, to receive the fullness of life. Amazing. But it's up to us. It's up to us to believe this. Our faith, that is the victory that has overcome the world. Faith, not in ourselves. Faith, not in faith itself. Faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amazing. That is the good news of the gospel. If I could say that, that's all I want to say tonight. It's just the good news of Jesus Christ. He's come to set us free. Someone is going to get excited here this evening. Can I hear at least 5 amen? Amen. Secondly, fellowship with His saints. 1 John 1:6-7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Second, and just as important, I want to say, is that we cannot just have a relationship with Jesus. We must have a relationship with His body. It's like when you, if you meet someone, you're not just going to have a relationship with the head of that person. You're going to have a relationship with the whole person. So the whole person, Jesus is the head, and then His body as well. So, you know, have a relationship with the church, with other believers. Okay? See, God has designed us to have relationship, and that's why the biggest challenge in church is offense with leadership, offense within church. That is the biggest challenge. But God says, if we just walk in the light, if we bring these things out continually, and we have fellowship, we have accountability with one another, then this will not happen. And I'll never forget the two best friends that I have to this day. We drove together. Our company moved from the mechanical engineering building out to Atlantis on the west coast there. It was 65 k's that we had to drive one way, 65 k's back. And you know, we were sort of a bit upset about this, having to move. You know, we decided we're not going to move out of Stellenbosch. We're still going to live in Stellenbosch. And we're going to drive together every day. And that's a lot of mileage that we did. But it was such an opportunity for us, just the three of us, to be in this car together and to really start to challenge each other. Because I met these guys when I started in Shofar, and I was actually the cell facilitator. They had come in and just started to build great friendships with these guys. And the one is a very relational guy, and the other one is quite a straight on the line. He would challenge me, you know, before sort of asking me how it's going. He would say, like, you know, how's your relationship with the Lord? You know, challenge me big time with my spiritual journey. And it was so blessed. You know, sometimes you can kick against it and not want to have these challenges all the time. But I had these great friends that kept me on the straight and narrow. And we used to pray together on the way to work. We said, Lord, change this company. We want to see people getting saved. We want to really see Your light shining in this company. And it was just so awesome to have this fellowship with people, because we were young Christians. We didn't have a clue. Young engineers, not knowing too much about life. But we had each other to really keep ourselves. And we prayed every morning before we got into this company. We prayed and we kept each other focused on the kingdom. I see them as kingdom friendships. They're not just friendships for, they'll always be there in my life. And the ones in Cape Town, the ones in London, they're very far from here. But you know, when we speak to each other, it's always just this bond of covenant. We're kingdom friends. We're seeing God's kingdom come in our lives and in others' lives. And it's so amazing when we went to London 2 years ago, Hester and I, and the same friend again, I could challenge him about, I could see certain things because we went on holiday together, so I could see in his marriage, and he could see in our marriage, just things that, you know, we needed to sort out. And we were open with each other. We challenged each other and said, look, I see this thing, cool. And, you know, he told me some things. And we received each other just with, you know, with no offense. We just were so open because we had built a covenant relationship. We had built friendship of trust. And that is what God wants. God wants us to cover our blind spots by other believers. And I believe in your cell group or wherever you move, God will place someone who you don't always like, because they're always going to see maybe your blind spots. And that is so awesome. That is the best place, because some friends just see the good in us. They say, oh, you're great. And meanwhile, you've got this blind spot and you're just not seeing it. And a friend will be placed in your life by God that we can keep focused on Him. We can have fellowship with Him because the blood of Jesus will cleanse us when we bring these things out into the light. Isn't it amazing? He's given us His body. And that's why we're sitting here this evening. That's why we're having church and we have small groups and foundations and whose life was changed this weekend in the Legacy Seminar. Lots of you guys. It was just, just such great things. Of God doing amazing things, you see. Getting us to that place of freedom where we can trust one another again. Relationships are restored and we can start to trust other believers. But God says, walk in the light and then have fellowship. And also have fellowship and you will be in the light. You will stay in the light. So I'm trusting the Lord also this year for our small groups to really grow in closeness and that we can be open, we can be transparent. We're not just doing a religious thing on a Wednesday evening, but friendships will be established out of those small groups. Friendships where you can leave this place and you can always contact that person and they will ask you, how's it going? You know, how's your relationship with the Lord? Really keep you accountable. And that is what God wants. God wants us to be covenant friends, not just fair weather friends or friends that talk about the weather and the rugby and all these things, you know. It's great stuff as well, but God wants us to be focused. Okay. Lastly, this will help us to really shine His light. And this is really what I want to get to this evening. Acts chapter 26. Go and read this whole chapter. But this is a chapter about Paul standing before kings. And it's amazing. Well, this King Agrippa, he was standing before him, had an opportunity to share his testimony. Because right at the beginning we read that kings will stand before kings. Kings will come to the brightness of our eyes and the Gentiles will come. But yeah, it's Paul. He's in prison, he's in chains and everything. But yeah, he just says, oh, King, I've got to testify of this. Because this is what happened to me. And yeah, he shares his testimony. He says, at midday, O King, along the road, I saw this light, this amazing light from heaven. It was brighter than the sun, and it shone around me and those who journeyed with me. O King, it changed my life. I was blind, and then he carries on to tell how he came out of, he was blind for 3 days and all this stuff. And then he just said, but this person, this amazing person who came to shine his light on me, and obviously that was Jesus saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Just stop kicking against the goat. And he changed his life, and then he said, this is what he said to me. He said, I will deliver you from the Jewish people, Paul. I want you to go to the Jewish people as well as to the Gentiles. I will deliver you from them, but I have sent you, Paul, to open their eyes. I've sent you to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Paul, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Here he is, Paul telling his testimony of just how Jesus came to shine his light on him. And you know, when that bright light shines on someone, that life is never the same again. That life was kicked off his high horse. He was persecuting the Christians. We all know, we've read about Paul's testimony. But here it is, and Paul just starts to witness before this king. And you know, the amazing thing is at the end, if you read that chapter, the king says, but Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian, man. Now, I don't know what happened to that king in the end, if he ever got saved or what, but, you know, that's what we must have experiences with people where they say, man, Sean, you almost persuade me to be a Christian, man. You know, Tanya, you almost persuade me to be a Christian, man. This is just, you're speaking with such authority. You know, Heinrich, you've got such a light shining about you. I want to have this as well. That's what God wants us to do. You see, maybe we won't stand before kings like Paul. Maybe we won't stand before influential people. And some of us, I'm trusting the Lord, will. Like Sean, he's been blessed with open doors into influential people's lives. And God will give us those opportunities. But I believe there's an opportunity every day when we wake up, where we move, there are always people around us that we can testify of this light that has shone on our lives, this light that has changed our lives. And we all have a testimony. And I want to say again tonight, don't let the devil lie to you and say you haven't got a testimony. Because you do have a testimony. Your testimony is powerful and someone needs to know that testimony. Because someone is in the exact same place as what you were, and they need to know, how did you get and receive this light and come out of darkness? So, I really want to encourage us this evening. This is where the gospel gets exciting, is where we start to share it. Our joy is made full. Yeah, in Isaiah chapter 60, right at the end, it says, you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the wealth of the Gentiles is going to come to you. The abundance is going to start coming to you. This is where it gets exciting. When we start witnessing, when we start seeing people's lives change, when we welcome new people into this church and just get excited about visitors and everyone who's coming, we start to share and shine this light. Then kings will start to come and people will start to see there's something happening here. And the amazing this morning, we had just such a great time this morning, and I've prayed for a guy who was a visitor here from America and so on. It's just amazing to see, heard about this church, just came and he's saved and everything. He's a believer. But I mean, just hearing about what's happening here in Pretoria, just hearing that there's light is shining here. And there's lots of light shining all over the city. Amazing churches. We're not the only one. We by far, we're just a drop in the bucket in this big plan of the Lord. But God is still using us, and He's using us as a beacon of light for all those to see. But you see, many times there's challenges in our lives that we allow to start to get us down and to start letting the light fade. So I want, as the band just comes up this evening, I want us really to be honest with the Lord and just to really say, Lord, there's certain things that are just preventing me from shining the light. There's certain things in my life that I just know, Lord, are keeping me in the darkness. And they're keeping me focused on myself, Lord. That's the thing. God is not sin conscious. But the problem is we get conscious of ourselves. We get sin conscious. We start to see the faults in us. And we start to experience just things holding us back. And God wants us to just be free of that. And not to be sin conscious. But especially not to be self-conscious. Not to be focused on ourselves the whole time and our shortcomings. So let's all stand this evening as we just pray together. Father, I thank you that your word is powerful this evening, God. I thank you that you have spoken to us, Lord, that we can arise truly and shine, Lord, because your light, Lord, has come upon us, God, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us, Lord. And we thank you that your light has come. We thank you, Jesus, that you have come to set the captives free, Lord. We thank you that you've come to give us life and life in abundance, God. We thank you that you will continue to arise over us, Lord. Thank you that your promises are yes and amen, Lord. Your promises are that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, God. And you are so committed, Lord, to our lives being changed, Lord. You are so committed, Lord, to see our lives, Lord, on fire for you, God. As we sang earlier, God, that our lives on fire, that we can dance before you, God. Because you're more committed to our salvation and to the process of our salvation than we are, God. And we just realize, Lord, we cannot do anything but surrender to you, Lord. We cannot do anything but just to repent of our lack of faith even at times, Lord, and of our lack of trust in you for sorting us out, God. So thank you that even tonight, Lord, you're going to once again just, Lord, cleanse us, God, from all the darkness. Cleanse us from that which keeps us from shining your light this evening. And now as we just continue to close our eyes and just to focus on the Lord right now. I just, first of all, the most important call I want to make, and I believe God wants to touch many lives here this evening, but the most important this evening is that if you have never met this light, this great light that Paul could testify of and that many others in this hall, including myself, can testify of, if you have never had an encounter with this light where he has knocked you off, knocked your pride away, knocked all your sin away, he's knocked everything out of you, where there's actually nothing left, but there's just a light in abundance, where he wants to deposit in you a joy and a light that you've never known before. If you have never had that experience with Jesus, maybe you've been religious, maybe you've been to church many times, but you don't know this amazing light, then I want to give an opportunity for you this evening. And I really want you to be bold this evening. It's just to stick up your hand and say, Alistair, I want this light, because I've heard about church, and I've heard about Jesus, and I've heard about God, and the love of God, but I've just never experienced this in my own life, and I just so want it. If that's you this evening, and you might feel like there's just such a war in your soul, and there is a war to keep you in darkness, but the light of God wants to shine on you this evening, and that's why I'm making this call first, because I believe you guys are so important for us. So if you need to know the lover of your soul this evening, if you need salvation, if you need just to say, Lord, save me, maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you're just not in that place where God wants you. Then just surrender to the Lord this evening. But I want you to be bold. Just stick up your hand. Is there anyone like that that you just need to know that you know that you know this evening that you are saved? Thank you for that hand. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Thank you for that hand, man. God bless you guys. Is there anyone else that just needs to, you just need to surrender. That's all it is. And it might feel like challenging this evening. You feel like you want to die a thousand deaths and you want to just crawl into a hole now. That's the place where God wants you to be, because you do need to die this evening. The old life needs to die. So just be honest with you. Is there anyone else? You just need to know that you know this evening that you're saved and you have peace with God. Just be so bold as to just raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. Anyone else? I don't want to prolong it too long, but this is the battle. So believers, I want us to pray this evening, because some souls are at stake here, and if people walk out of here and people are killed and they didn't have an opportunity to respond, God is going to hold us accountable. I know it sounds very harsh, but the reality is that some people need to just make right with God this evening. We can know that abundant life. Is there anyone else, apart from those that have raised their hands? Just be bold this evening. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I just want to ask you this evening to really make a very bold step. It's just to come to the front, because I just so want to pray with you, God. I just so want to pray with you. So just be bold this evening. Just come and step forward, yeah? And maybe if you haven't raised your hands, just come forward. God doesn't want to expose you. Doesn't want to embarrass you. He just wants to give you life this evening. I would love to pray with you this evening. So all those who raised their hands, just be so bold. Let's give them a hand.
Thank you, Lord. You guys are so special this evening.
You guys are so special. God loves you guys so much. I really just want to say that this evening. God is so pleased. Is there anybody else that needs to come forward? God bless you. Bless you, Maureen. If anyone else wants to come forward, please do it right now. But let us all just pray together. I want you guys to just pray the simple prayer with me, because that's all it is. It's not about exposing you this evening. It's just a step that you've taken out of darkness into the light. Okay, God is shining His light on all four of you this evening. So I just want to pray this prayer with you guys. So just everyone can pray together, and you guys just pray this with me. Let's all pray together. Father God, thank you, Lord, that I cannot save myself. Lord, I repent this evening of my sin. But thank you, Jesus, that you have taken away my sin. And Lord, only by you can I be saved. And can I have peace with you. And Lord, this evening, I give my life to you with joy, Lord. I lay down my old life. And I receive your new life. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. Very specially for me. And I receive that life this evening. And I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in my heart that God rose him from the dead. And therefore, I am saved tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of my salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's give them a hand.
Okay, you guys can know, maybe there was doubt in your life. You guys can all know that you're saved this evening.
I want the facilitator just to come and pray with you. So if I can have just have four ladies to just come and pray and give them New Life brochures. There's some material that the facilitator wants to give to you this evening. So I just really want to tell you guys, slot into a small group. Because remember, you've given your life to the Lord now, and the devil wants to still keep you back. He still wants to keep you in darkness. And as we heard this evening, the only way we can remain in this walk of salvation is with fellowship. So I really want to invite you guys, join one of our small groups. I believe if God has birthed you into this church, He wants to stay here and to grow here. You still have the choice to go wherever. That God will guide your lives. Okay, so you can just turn to my left and just go with the facilitator to the first classroom. So God bless you guys. And just know that you're saved, okay? That it doesn't have to be any doubt in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for salvation this evening. And now I really want us to continue to let the Lord minister to us, because I believe out of those six categories, there's people that really have to deal with stuff. So I just want to ask us, first of all, to really be honest with the Lord this evening, and just to come forward just as a sign of laying down this challenge in our lives. So if, the first one, if you're struggling with the complaining thing, the murmuring and the complaining and disputing, if you're struggling with that this evening, just be honest with the Lord and come forward and say, God, this is me. Alistair, please pray for me. And I'm just going to pray a prayer over you this evening. But just come forward. If you're struggling with if your mouth needs to be cleansed, then just come forward this evening and just be honest with that before the Lord. Okay, this is not about embarrassing you, but I really believe it's a step where we just step out of darkness, out of this that's keeping us back into the light. Okay, so if you're struggling with complaining and just a negative attitude at times, just come and lay it before the Lord. And it's important to repent this evening. Okay, to really repent before the Lord. Okay, if you're struggling with fleshly lusts, I'm just going to mention them quickly. If there's any lust and stuff that you want to get rid of, just come forward, lay it at the cross. I just really believe God wants, I don't want facilitators to pray for us this evening right now, but I really want us just to lay this aside as a symbol. Just say, God, I'm laying this aside. I'm laying this thing that's keeping me down. Okay. So let's be honest. If you're struggling with lust, come and lay it at the cross of Jesus. Jesus is right here to touch us. He loves us so much. It's just about dealing with stuff in our lives. It's not about exposing you guys. Please. If you're struggling with critical eyes, you always see the negative. You're always seeing, you know, you're not seeing the positive always, and you always want to start complaining about that. Your eyes need to just be cleansed. Then come forward as well. And just come and repent before the Lord this evening. And then, fourthly, is the works of darkness. If there are any secret sins in your life that you really need to deal with, and God is highlighting that, just come and lay it at the feet of the cross. Maybe there's just stuff you've never brought into the light before. Just be honest with where you're at right now. Okay, and then also, unequally yoked. If you may be unequally yoked with someone, you really need to get out of it, then just come and lay it at the cross. And we'll, especially, I really believe we need to pray for you and just to guide you as well there, but God will give you wisdom as well. If you're unequally yoked with someone, you really need to cut off a relationship. I know it's tough, but God wants us to do it if we can be the light. Okay, and then lastly, maybe there's a lack of love in your life, maybe for the other believers, or you've got a problem with church, you've been offended with church or whatever. Just be honest where you're at this evening. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you want to deal with us, God. I thank you that it's not about, Lord, just having a ritual of coming forward, God, but you want our hearts to be honest with where you're at, where we're at this evening, God. So we come and repent of all this, God, and we just come and lay it at your feet. Let's just all pray. I want you guys just to pray together with me and really to just let go of whatever's on your heart. Father God, I come to you this evening, and Lord, I repent of where I've walked in darkness, of where I've allowed complaining and disputing and lust and works of darkness, secret sins, critical eyes, a lack of love in my life, even where I've been unequally yoked, Lord. I just come and lay it at the cross this evening. And I thank you, Jesus, that you have made provision for all my sins. I just come and receive your good news this evening of deliverance, that you have come to set the captives free, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that I can shine my light now. And thank you for the process that will continue in my life, and that I can continue to shine your light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just want the band to minister to us. So if you guys have come forward for prayer, just please remain here. Just come right to the front, you guys that are there in the aisle. Just move a little bit aside, guys, please. Just allow those who've come forward. I just want us to really deal with this with the Lord. And then I just want facilitators as well, if you guys can just move through and just come and just pray for people that are in need of prayer this evening. Okay, so let's just sing together. Meryl ministers to us, and I really want us to just deal with stuff. And if you want to go, guys, God bless you guys. I just want to just miss the meeting, but if you want to stay and just sit in the chairs and just receive from the Lord, please do that. But go and have coffee outside and go and chat outside. Just allow everyone to just deal with what God is dealing with them this evening. Okay, so the Lord bless you, Father. Thank you. That just pray a blessing over every person here this evening, that as we go, Lord, we can shine your light, Lord. As we go this week, Lord, I thank you for opportunities and testimonies, Lord, of just your goodness, God, and just your light that has shone in us, God. Thank you for release this evening, just of everything that's holding us back, in Jesus' name. So the Lord bless you, give you peace, have a great week. See you guys next week. But yeah, just remain in the presence of God if you need to. If you want to go, you're welcome to leave. But thank you, Meryl. Just let's worship the Lord this evening.